Okay, so in Proverbs 23, I want to find the ancient past. I can't remove the ancient boundaries, the things that are in the earth. I don't want to go into the fields of the fatherless. I'm not condemning them for where they're at, but I can't remove the ancient landmarks. What are the ancient landmarks? There are things that people paid a price for, that God put in the earth. What are those ancient landmarks? What's the revolution going on in the earth right now among the fatherless? Some are crying out lawlessness, promiscuity. Some are crying out law. Okay? In America, they're crying out no walls or build a wall. Okay? Now, what's the truth? There's truth in both of it. No wall is compassion for those who need help. Wall is protecting that which should not be taken. Is there a truth in both? Yes! So you can't blame someone who doesn't know how to interpret that we're right and we're right. No, you know what? You're both right. But in the sense, you're also both wrong. Why? Because you're not using weapons of life to do it. You're using weapons of death. And you're solving it by taking. Okay? Now, we are not going to bring the influence of who we're meant to be in this season by grabbing hold of that same spirit and living that. We have to become the trees planted in the midst of that in a different way. So I'm going to have to find the path, guys. I cannot act like I have a United States citizen, but I'm a citizen of heaven before I'm a citizen of the United States. I am an ambassador. I happen to live in an embassy in the earth. I have a green card to work in the earth. I've been given permission. I've been given a visa from my Father in heaven, gave me a visa to work on earth as long as I'm on the earth. But my citizenship is in heaven. And I'm here to influence the earth that I'm in with heavenly influence as an ambassador representing what is in heaven, influencing society with heaven's grace. I can say the same about you, but this is the mandate, okay? So now, verse 12. Apply your heart to instruction. You want to get from 2019 to 2020? You're going to need to apply your heart to instruction. Teach me. Now, God doesn't teach by information. He teaches by transformation. I'm willing to change. Okay, I'm 63. I hope I'm the youngest person in the room. Okay, in other words, my aim is I'm always going to have a goal to be a little child in my heart. At the same time, I've also got a goal to be a dad, to be a father, to be a mature one. I've also got a goal to be an overcomer. I'm embracing all three dynamics. But the older I get, the younger I better be. I better be more expectant the older I get. And so far, I'm doing pretty good by the grace of God. Okay? Now, I plan on being younger every year. I hope that if you've got snow on your head or anything up there anymore or however it goes when you become more mature, I hope that you'll follow me as I follow Christ and embrace getting younger in your heart, not older. You can be older in your knowledge, but don't be so old in your knowledge you don't remain young in your intimacy. Let me use English words for that. With God, into me see. Instruction. Apply your heart to instruction. I'm not going to be the same January 1st, 2020, as I am right now on, what is this, January 5th? January 6th? 5th. January 5th, 2019. I'm not going to be the same on January 5th, 2020, because I'm going to apply my heart to instruction. I don't know what I'm doing. If you know what you're doing, you have gotten old. Okay, I know what I'm doing in some things. That's the problem. it leaves little room for faith. God told me my word for this year is faith, which is scary because it means I'm not going to know what I'm doing. God, I thought I was already there. Okay, apply your heart. Now, and your ears to words of knowledge. So I'm going to apply my heart to being instructed, and I'm going to listen. Listen to knowledge, to know. Okay? Become a good listener. This is the GPS, God's purpose salvation. You're going to take the roadmap. If I'm going to become and see God's faithfulness demonstrated in my life this year, I'm applying my heart to instruction. I'm listening for knowledge. And do not withhold correction from a child. Okay? I'm expecting to be corrected, and I'm expecting to correct my children. Now, there's a difference between correcting your neighbor's children and correcting your children. Okay? Correcting your neighbor's children is none of your business. Okay? So you cannot correct your neighbor's children. Okay? Matter of fact, do not fret because of your neighbor's children. But where you are responsible, be responsible. Now, some words I'm going to read here that says, and then I'm going to explain these. Talking about correction, and then I'm going to explain what these words are really saying. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, if you think like a king of the world, that means get a stick and abuse somebody. That is not what this says. Okay? The word there is a grafting stick. Now, I have trees in my yard that have been corrected. I went out there and corrected them a little bit just recently. Now that the sap is out of them, I brought some correction to them when they're in a season where correction can come. I'm going to go home in a couple of weeks. I'm going to correct my grapevines. I've got some major correction to bring to my grapevines. You should see how I correct grapevines. Man, I take my grapevines down like to nothing when I correct them. But then they load up with grapes because I correct them properly. I take away everything that is dead that can't support the life of fruit. Okay, and I shape them. If you go out and look at my little apple tree, it looks like this. It does all the branches. It's 6 grafted. It's been spanked. Now, a grafting, a spanking is this. I'm glad I was physically spanked, but better than that, I was spanked in the sense of, I'll give you an example of a spanking. When I was in first grade school, so I was like 7 years old, there was a boy in our school, his name was Calvin Hayes, and Calvin was from a family of like 26 kids. I mean, mass kids, they lived in a free house, they had no money. I mean, Calvin was like poor and got picked on a lot, but he was in my grade, in my class. And Calvin, now I was from a poor family also. I was one of 10 children in our family. And we used to get free food that was labeled. You know, you go to the store and there was cans that had no label. They would give them to our family. And they would give dented cans. You can't do that these days, but they used to do it. And so we were always excited. Is it going to be, we would hope it would be like fruit cocktail, but it might end up being something like sauerkraut or something crazy thing that we didn't want, spinach. And we were hoping it was fruit cocktail, but you know, the surprise was when you open the can. But and we used to get a pair of shoes. I used to get one pair of shoes in the fall when school started. That was my pair of shoes. I remember the year I tore my high top black Converse tennis shoe and it had to be patched. I wore a patched shoe all through that school year because that's the only pair of shoes I got. So, and I wore hand-me-down clothes. My precious mama, she didn't know that there was a difference between Boy Scouts and brownies. She gave me a brownie shirt. She didn't know what brownies was. I wore a brownie shirt to elementary school. Do you know what that does to a little elementary kid with a brownie shirt? But I want you to know, I wore that brownie shirt because I knew my mama loved me. Okay, so I know what it's like to be a poor kid. Huh? But Calvin was poorer than me. And Calvin had a whistle one day in school And I had a whistle, and Calvin had these little plastic tubes that you'd put together. And he liked my whistle, and I liked his plastic tubes. So we made a deal. We traded. And I came home with the plastic tubes. And my daddy said, "Where did you get that?" I said, "Calvin gave it to me. I traded the whistle." Okay. Now, he physically gave me a spanking, but this is what he told me. He said, "Calvin is a poor boy. You give Calvin your whistle." I learned a lesson that day, that you don't trade whistle for parts with a poor boy. You take your whistle and you give it to the poor. Okay. I'm so glad for that correction in my life. I'd like to include it in a, maybe in a book someday. I'll write a book, and one of the parts will be you give a poor boy a whistle. See, I think more people need to know you give a poor boy a whistle. Now, did that look unjust? It sure did. It looked unjust. I made a deal. We traded. But my daddy taught me you only make a deal in trade where deals can be made. So Calvin went back with his plastic toys and the whistle. Calvin was a happy man. By the way, Calvin is a believer these days. A lot of friends that are believers these days from back in the day. So, correction. So, a grafting, you graft a stick into the tree. That's correction. It grafts it into the tree. It hurts the tree. It hurts the stick. Okay. And then you deliver their, verse 14, you shall deliver their soul from Sheol, hell, but a form of Sheol, death, the realm of the dead. So, don't reject correction. What does correction look like for an adult? What does a grafting process look like for an adult? Someone treats you wrong, and you get to treat them right. That's called correction. Why? If they treated you right, how would you have treated them? Right? So why then, if they treat you wrong, do you treat them wrong? Aren't we children of God? If we're sons and daughters of God, we treat people right when they treat us right, and when they treat us wrong, how should that change who we are? So correction then in life involves experiencing things that are the opposite of who we are so that we will manifest who we are. Jesus never sinned, but he was corrected. Hebrews 12 says that Jesus was chastised because no son is a son unless he's chastised. How was Jesus chastised? He was lied about, and he didn't lie about us. He was shamed, and he never shamed us. He was rejected, and he did not reject. See, we've got to become the substance of our Heavenly Father in our personal way. But if we're going to get from 2019 to 2020, we got to be able to receive instruction in our heart, listen for knowledge, and say, "God, don't withhold correction. Don't withhold correction. I was born to be corrected, to stay in the path of life, so that the proof of what's in me will come out." He says, "My son," in verse 15, "if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, and be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." These are great words. He says, "Hear, my son, and be wise." These are all wonderful paths. Like verse 22, "Listen to your father who begot you." Who is your father that begot you? Your heavenly father begot. "Listen to your father who begot you, and don't despise your mother when she's old." Can I tell you, the church before you is a little old. Don't despise her. Just recognize She's a little old. My mama, she's in heaven now, and I'm older, you know, so my mama was alive. She'd be 110 right now, but she's not alive. She died quite young, 76, a long time ago. But she thought that helicopters were what was described in Revelation, you know, those crazy creatures that are in there, that was helicopters. But you know, she's in heaven now, and her grandson's a helicopter pilot, and I think she's probably rejoicing. I think she probably got a revelation because her grandson loves Jesus with all his heart, and he flies helicopters. You know, but you know what? My precious mama, she understood what she understood. So don't despise your mother when she's old. Now, verse 23 is the verse I'm after here. Are you ready? You want to get from 2019 to 2020, and you want to have God's purpose, salvation, to be able to influence your world with heaven's grace, to find heaven's path, to influence your marriage, your neighborhood, your friends, your enemies, your world, your city, in the midst of a time when it's maybe crazier than any time on planet Earth because there's so much manifestation of lawlessness and law. Will you choose to be someone different than lawlessness or law? Will you choose to be the planting of the Lord in the midst of this and bring life solutions to people's lives? By the way, he didn't call you to make converts. He called you to make disciples. I wonder who they are in your life. I wonder who those friendships are in your life. And just maybe, you need to quit looking at all saved people. And just great, maybe you need to also quit thinking that those who are saved are really saved. Maybe we're all being saved. If salvation is salvation of the soul, maybe I'm working this thing out. Oh, am I going to heaven when I die? Well, no problem. Got that down. If I wake up there tomorrow, it's all good. But what about being able to bring heaven here tomorrow? I'm working this thing out with a little fear, a little trembling. Now, here's what I got to do. Verse 23, by the truth. By the truth. And don't sell it. Buy wisdom. Buy instruction. And buy understanding. Let's say it another way. Pay the price, whatever the price is, to find truth. And don't sell it. Pay the price, whatever you have to pay, to find wisdom. Pay the price. You're not paying the price to be loved. You're already loved. You don't have to have truth, wisdom, instruction, or understanding to be loved. You're good to go. You can die stupid. You're good to go, okay? But you can't live stupid. You cannot bring the influence of heaven into 2019 if you remain stupid. You're going to have to buy what you need to buy to become someone who walks in the ancient paths and brings the influence of heaven's grace and sees God demonstrate his faithfulness. You're going to have to, and some of you, you're in the midst. The amazing thing is God puts us in it and we think it's the devil and he's got us in it. And we think, oh, what did the devil do to us? And God says, man, I'm trying to get you to change this territory. It just happens that a devil lives here. I'm trying to get you to dispossess that rascal. Would you please? And just, I put you in this situation because I know you can stand in this situation. Did you know that when you break through something, you break through it not just for you, but you break through it for others? I wanted to, my wife and I, we wanted to give some things to our kids, and we had a little piece of property that was an inheritance for our kids, and we were believing that that was going to, the monies were finally going to get paid on it, and we were going to give that money to them because that was their part of the property. And we either wanted the property back or we wanted it go. And anyway, it ended up, we didn't, the conditions were basically, we got taken advantage of in the situation. So we basically got given nothing. And so we ended up at least a small measure, which means it's done. But we had this little piddling in our hands that was nothing. And it was embarrassing, like this is inheritance, like this is nothing. So what do we do with this? And so we wrote a nothing check to each of our three children, and we sent it off to them. We prayed, we released it, we sent off the little bit to them. We prayed this prayer. We said, God, we're asking for a sevenfold return, whatever this would have been had it not been ripped off in their life. Let that happen. Let it be a perfect thing, a sevenfold return. Sevenfold is, you know, a sevenfold return is not, if you have $100 and somebody takes it, sevenfold is not getting 700. Sevenfold return is if you had $100 but you were going to make it into a million, but somebody took the $100 so you couldn't turn it into a million. Sevenfold return is a million. With $1 or $2 or whatever. You're going to do what you would have done. You're going to do what you would have done. You're going to do what you would have done. Now, let me also, if you had $100 and you were going to spend it and do nothing with it, a sevenfold return is nothing, because that's what you would have done with it.
Pay the price from your mistakes. Is that the wisdom?
Don't learn from your mistakes. Find the ancient path.
I still work on paying the price.
Paying the price. Okay, buying truth. You might have to be lied about and not lie. You see, truth is different. Truth stands on his own. He's a person. But truth is different for every one of us because, by the way, you do know that people are people. When you're looking at trying to fix things, I mean, my goodness sakes, should people act this way? Should they act that way? What things do we allow? What things don't we allow? What things are acceptable? What things are not acceptable? Did you know that there's no two people on planet Earth that God's going to deal with the exact same way? No. Law will do that. But law, God is not law. Matter of fact, God doesn't like law. God doesn't like law. That is not what he wanted men to have. I didn't want you to have law, but I gave it to you because that's what you wanted. That's not what I wanted you to have. What I wanted you to have was my heart. What I want you to be is my kids. I want you to come home. I want you to think what I would think if I were to think it. See, I happen to believe in my life. I think God wants me to think some things that he doesn't want to tell me just to see if I'll think it. And actually, I think he actually has decided not to think some things so that I can surprise him. I think my father knows everything when it comes to my care. But when it comes to what I'm going to do, I think he's decided not to know it, so that I can surprise him when I do it. I can give you Bible evidence. That's what Abel did. He gave God an offering of the first and the fat. And it said God respected his offering. But you got to look in the Hebrew. It said God was speechless. God was nonplussed. He was gobsmacked. He was surprised. Do you like to be surprised with good surprises? Do you know that nature came from God? He likes to be surprised. There was a day when Joshua was in the battle fighting, and he was, you know, out there maybe 12, 14 hours fighting with a sword, probably missing a finger, a few cuts everywhere. And the sun was going down, and he said, God, give me another day. He wasn't saying, give me another day at the beach. He was saying, give me a chance to lose two more fingers. Give me a chance to stand. I can't even hold on to this sword anymore, but give me another. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. I would hope there's enough in me that if Jesus were to come back, if there were to be what we call, you know, the second coming return of Jesus, if he were to come back tomorrow, I hope that I would have enough courage to argue with him. I hope. I hope I would argue with him and say, are you sure about this? We can do this. Give us another day. Because it doesn't seem like the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God yet, Jesus. We can do this thing. You know what it says? That day, of Joshua, it says, that day God listened to the voice of a man. Which implies he was surprised that Joshua asked. I know your sovereignty theology doesn't give room for that, but your sovereignty theology doesn't give room for a poetic God. Is God sovereign in his abilities? Absolutely. Is God magical in his possibilities? Even more so. He can be sovereign, but he chooses not to be as often as he can. There are places, I've said this before, and I get branded as a heretic for this, okay? But he does, I don't believe he lives everywhere. The psalmist said, where can I go and you're not there? If I go to hell, if I go to Sheol, the realm of the dead, you're there. Was he saying that God lives in Sheol? God is life. If he lived in Sheol, you better change the name on the door because it's no longer the realm of the dead. So David wasn't saying that God lives in Sheol. He was saying, God, you love me so much. Where can I go? And you're not there. If I went to the realm of the dead, you're there. What would that mean? It would mean the realm of the dead can't hold David. Why? God is life. It happened in the greater David, Jesus. He went to the grave, but God did not leave him. He did not forsake him. God did not live there. God refused to leave the dead body of his son. God never forsook his son, never left Jesus. He never forsook us. We forsook him. Sin never caused God a problem seeing us for who we really are. Sin isn't causing a problem right now for him seeing anyone in Canada for who they really are. Whether you like your prime minister or not, how your prime minister acts, if you love him or if you hate him, it doesn't shake God in a moment for how he sees him to really be. Okay, whatever you might think about anybody, Donald Trump, my president, you like him or you hate him, it doesn't matter. God sees him the way he sees him, not the way we see him. And whether you think he acts good or you think he acts bad or you think you act good or you act bad, it doesn't matter. How we act never stops God from seeing who you really are. He's always seen, and he sees every human being as a child of God. Getting rid of sin didn't make you a child of God. It made you realize that you were a child of God. Getting born again allowed you to finally see the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? It's inside of you, for goodness sakes. But you got to be born again to see it. Otherwise, you lived your whole life never knowing who your daddy is. So we listen, we got to buy, we want to pay the price. Father, I want to pay the price. Okay, now I'm going to finalize this by going to Psalms 23. I hardly have touched this message. I'm going to be blogging on this, no doubt, this year. But I want you to go to Psalms 23. And in the context of I'm going to pay whatever price it is that's in my life to buy truth, to buy wisdom, to buy instruction, to buy understanding. And I'm not going to sell them. Okay. Now, truth is going to be different for each of us because he deals with us as people. Okay. Truth is stands on his own. He's a person. It's not intrinsic. You can't possibly know all truth. You see it from your angle. And truth is not written on a page. It's not scripture. Scripture is a testimony of the truth. But the truth is a person. The truth is God. Wisdom is a person. Instruction is a person. Understanding is a person. God is these things. I've got to pay whatever price to receive of him in my life. Now, in Psalms 23, I want to turn to Psalms 23. And I believe if I'm going to park in Psalms 23 this year. I'm going to motorize down this path because I believe prophetically that Psalms 23 is essential. Psalms 27, sorry. 37, I'm totally off. Psalms 37, verse 1. So, do not fret because of evildoers. Oh man, I'm going to have to visit that one every day. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious of workers of iniquity. That looks like, why do they always get the breaks and I do what's right and I don't? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither is the green herb. In other words, what they're hoping in, what they're looking in, ain't going to last anyway. So don't worry about it. Okay? Now, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. Now, it's not really complicated. Just do good. Okay? That's Now, if you do good to get, that's not doing good. Doing good is doing good not to get. Doing something not to get but to give. Doing to give. Doing to give. Doing to give. Doing, that's doing good. Doing to give. Doing good. Okay. You know, I'm sharing the word with you. One of the things I do all around the world, I like doing good. I love kids. I'm a grandpa, right? So I have a little trick I do. When I go into Portugal, any church I go into Portugal, I've got 20 some churches in Portugal. And some of those I work with very intently with. And my Portuguese, I love the people of Portugal, but I especially love the little Portuguese children. They're going to come running to me when I come in there, and they're going to do this. They know I can do that. They know I have a superhero skill. And they know I get down at their level, and I tell them about, preciso muito practicar. You need a lot of practice. Okay? They know, okay, you know, I'm going to go to Africa, and in Africa, a bunch of little children are going to run up to me, and they're going to come, hey, they're going to go, they're going to be all happy as can be. They're going to be the happiest people in the room, and they don't want to know what I got to say about Jesus. They don't want to know what I got to say about the Bible. They want to know, can you do that? Okay? Now, to me, that's Jesus. He said, greater things than these would you do. Here's a greater thing. Here's a greater thing. I know how to reach little children. It's a skill.
Oh, it's reaching me.
But you know what that says? You know what that says right there? That says, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I love those little kids. I love being a grandpa. I know how to be an antique little boy. I know how to make little kids' world a good world. To me, that's going to be just as important as me preaching a sermon is going to be going in, being touchable and being reachable. Okay? So do good. That's doing good. Now, trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Ooh. You get to dwell in the land. Dwell means don't exist, but embrace your life. Embrace your life. So trust in him. Be confident in him. Be sure of him. Do good, and then embrace your life and exercise kingdom influence in your life. Dwell in the land. Embrace your life. I'm going to embrace my life in 2019 more than I ever have before. And I am going to embrace my life. I'm going to embrace my big church. I'm going to embrace my little church. I'm going to embrace my big family. I'm going to embrace my little family. I'm going to embrace my marriage. I'm going to embrace my singleness. I'm going to embrace my widowhood. I'm going to embrace my world. I'm going to embrace my life. I'm going to embrace my neighborhood. And I'm going to dwell it. I'm going to dwell in my land. I'm going to embrace it. And I'm going to exercise kingdom influence in my life. Okay? And when I do this, look at this, dwell in the land, and then feed on His faithfulness. How am I going to enter into 2019, a year of God's faithfulness in my life, is I'm going to put confidence in Him. I'm going to be confident in Him. I'm going to be sure of Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to be confident in Him. I'm sure of You, God. And I'm going to do good. Any little thing I can see to do good, including, I'm just going to do good. I'm going to be a giver. God made me a sign and wonder for your sake to be willing to do foolish things so that you're not so scared to do the less foolish things, okay? So do good and embrace your life. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. He's not as worried about your faithfulness as He wants to demonstrate His faithfulness. He's not as concerned about you knowing what you're doing as you trusting Him. He knows. Because you're going to buy knowledge. You're going to buy understanding. You're going to buy truth. You're not going to buy it and then go do stuff. You're going to buy, you're going to pay the price in the midst of your difficult situation or your easy situation. No matter. You're going to buy these things as you go through, because you're trusting in Him, you're doing good, you're dwelling in the land. Now look at this. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Don't delight in what He does. Delight in Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. And here's the secret. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that is not what you want, because you probably want some things He doesn't want you to want. And what you want is according to your footsteps. There's another place in Jeremiah 18 where it talks about the ancient paths. We've exchanged the highways, the ancient highways, for steps. Steps are my way. The highway is His way. Okay? So we exchange heavenly courses for personal agendas. Now, we're good at personal agendas. Why? We want to do them. We're good at, that's why revolutions, there's a grassroots revolution going on planet Earth, not just in America or Canada, it's in Europe, it's everywhere. There are them and so many overturnings and protestings and good and bad and ugly, you know, all of it. We live in a time of revolutions right now. There's revolutions. Okay. Now, the revolutions are because people are walking in steps. They're walking in their steps. They're passionate. They're doing what they want to. They're doing what they desire to do. Matter of fact, elections are not won by information anymore. You know what they're won by? Feelings. How do you feel today? There's so much knowledge on the internet. There's so much knowledge. You know, it's true. You know it's true because you read it and you saw it on the internet. There's so much knowledge and so much of it's not true. Matter of fact, almost none of it's true. Now, almost all of it has some truth in it, but almost none of it's true. But we have all this stuff. And what does it do? It fuels our passions, our desires. Okay, now, we have a desire problem. I have a desire problem. I know, because some things that should have worked out haven't worked out. I wonder if it's because I'm wanting the wrong thing. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. If you do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, you just might be crazy. So don't you think maybe there's some things we need to do differently than we did them before? So Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. Many things in this chapter. I'm going to stop there. You can read, but I'm going to look at one more verse just to give your heart at peace. And it's verse 23. I would challenge you to read this whole chapter. I'll be blogging on it, but verse 23, the steps of a good man. And that word man there is neither man nor woman, it's both. And the word good there is a warring, passionate. The steps of someone who's good at doing what they want to do. The steps of a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And He, God, delights in that person's way or that person's course of life. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. 2019 may be a year of falling down. Would you fall forward? Falling forward involves trusting Him with all your heart. But all your heart probably isn't enough to really see who He is. So just try. And just maybe your heart will get bigger. And you'll be able to trust Him next year where you can't trust Him this year. He's not judging you for where you can't trust Him. He's just asking you to trust Him with all your heart. But your heart should get bigger. Don't lean on your understanding. Acknowledge Him. Dwell in the land. Embrace your life. Feed on His faithfulness. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. And even then, you'll probably still be a little foolish. You'll probably make a few mistakes. You'll probably fall down. But it'll be okay because you'll fall in His direction. And the Lord delights in the way you fell. He delights in your course of life. And He'll pick you up. And there He is, demonstrating His faithfulness. So He's not asking you to be faithful tonight. He's asking you to consider walking a path in 2019 that will allow Him to demonstrate His faithfulness. Are you ready for 2019? Okay, I'm going to pray. Father, so grateful that we can say that, Father, that we're not on just some foolish journey trying to figure out religion. We're not trying to figure out what to do or how to act. We're trying to connect. Trying to become, be. And we're glad that You gave us the simple truth of being reconnected to You. So we're so grateful that You're our Father. We don't know how to treat You. We don't know how to act like You. I think we're getting better, but that's to Your credit. Because it's Your Spirit that's inside of us. And we are asking that You would help us to find the ancient pathways in our lives, find the ancient pathways, the places where the boundaries have been set for us to walk in life and not to walk outside of that in places where life does not happen. And it's going to involve us being able to trust You. So would You open up the eyes of our hearts to see how trusting you are, how steadfast You are, how sure You are, as a foundation, as a friend, as a lover, as a deliverer. You are sure, You're steadfast. And so We want to trust you. We don't want to lean on our understanding. That doesn't work. We want to acknowledge you in our ways. Help. Help. Huh. And we're looking. We embrace. We say tonight, here I am. I'm going to say it as I'm praying. You pray in your heart right now. But Father, here I am. I'm Ted. And Bonnie and I are one flesh. We're Ted and Bonnie Hansen, Bonnie and Ted Hansen. We're one individual made of two parts that has two different ways of seeing things, two different ways of thinking, and two different ways of experiencing, which makes one even more. We ask that you'd help us in that. And here we are, we're parents. You've blessed us. We've got married children with wonderful daughters-in-law and son-in-law. We got awesome grandbabies. You've blessed us. We're rich. We have a family. What are you asking? That we can embrace our family this year at another level. Embrace our church community. God, this is our life. I travel a lot. Bonnie's home a lot. Help us to dwell in that land and to feed on your faithfulness in the midst of this. God, I also live in America. I go to a church that's filled with liberals and conservatives. I have best friends that are liberals. I have best friends that are conservatives. Help me, I'm on Facebook. I use the social internet as part of my world. Help me to embrace my life and become a kingdom influencer. Help me to embrace my world and become someone who reveals a path of heaven. I'm a U.S. citizen. Help me in America. These are Canadians, I think. Most of them. Help them in Canada. Help us on this planet to bring your influence of your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Keep us from wandering into the field of the fatherless. Help us stay in the paths as children of God. And an invitation to many to find the path of life. So maybe a simple way of praying this is, God, help us be who we are, children of a Father who's holy. And let us see your kingdom come and your will being done in our lives exactly as it is in heaven right now. Give us everything we need for us and anyone that's knocking at our door. Whether it be spirit, soul, or body, word from you of any kind, bread from you of any way. And forgive us for being stupid in the exact way we forgive people when they're stupid in our direction. Help us in that. Don't lead us into temptation. We don't need to prove ourselves strong. We just need to prove ourselves connected to you. Because that's the deal. It's your kingdom. And yours is the power and yours is the glory. And that's a done deal forever. Amen.